This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason those powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah, and others, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I had beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, the brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came. When Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oath and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took the body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you listen to the radio much, perhaps you've heard a commercial that features a woman named Janet Lehman. She talks about how she remembers the day when her 14-year-old son slammed a door in her face and shouted at her, I hate you. Janet and her husband responded by developing a program to put a stop to what the ad describes as disrespectful, obnoxious, defiant, or abusive behavior. The program purports, at least, to give you words to use that will immediately put an end to backtalking and verbal abuse. The Lehmans call this program they developed the Total Transformation Program. You can read about it on the web. I'm not endorsing it. I have no idea if it works. But let's just say I'm skeptical. Seems to me that if the Lehmans had really cracked the code on family harmony, I doubt they'd be selling the program over the radio for $346. At the very least, they would have been given the Nobel Peace Prize. They'd be gazillionaires and household names. But the fact that there is even something called the Total Transformation Program leads us to what I think is a bigger and more important point. This program is marketed directly to parents and grandparents of adolescents who have serious behavior problems. And just the fact that there's a need for something like the Total Transformation Program, I think it tells us something important about our human condition. It tells us that growing up is hard. It's really hard. think for just a moment about the expertise and the emotions that surround, oh, let's just call it the birthing process, the birth of a child. All those things, for the most part, they're really positive. Healthcare professionals are really good at what they do. They have training and expertise and manuals of procedure. They understand how to handle anything that can come up during the birth of a child. So I think as far as the birthing process goes, you know, we've gotten pretty good at it. Between doctors and nurses and hospitals and midwives and routine C-sections and husbands in the delivery room and videos being shot of the whole event, I'd say we've pretty much gotten the drill down. Mostly, the arrival of a new baby is a party. The afternoon after our son Matt was born, he's not here so I can talk about him, I snuck a bottle of champagne into the hospital so Bonnie and I could celebrate our little bundle of joy. Baby showers are just part of the birth process. It's part of having a baby. It just feels right to have a party and celebrate the arrival of a new one. Now, of course, this isn't to say that some children are not born into tragic circumstances. We know that they are. But for the most part, there's a certain euphoria that's part of the package of the birth process. Now compare that to the expertise and emotions that surround the whole process of growing up. It doesn't take long before it dawns on new parents that there's no manual of procedures for raising a child. And the attempts to put one together have failed miserably. Can you say, Dr. Spock? If we've gotten good at bringing life into the world, we're still challenged by the growing up process. Maybe birth is a celebration, but growing up is terribly hard, both on the kids and the people who raise them. Just think for a minute about the emotions that surround this growing up process. Both young people and parents experience things like anxiety, fatigue, fear, even panic. And the kids may be blissfully unaware of it, but the whole time they're growing up, their parents are constantly talking to each other. They're talking to physicians and teachers and pastors about, what do we do to get this child grown up right? We want to get that growing up thing so right, and yet so often we get it wrong. We worry about their health, who they're hanging out with, the direction they're going. We try our best and we still get it wrong. Growth is so hard, it just seems to me like there's a built-in market for something like the Total Transformation Program. I just have to think that if birthing is euphoric, growing up is traumatic. And the truth is that we can say the same thing about the church, especially the church in this country. The American church runs on the euphoria of birthing. It seems like many churches only care about new things, new faith, new believers, new members, new programs, and dare I say it, new buildings. Those things are exciting. They're sexy. We like them. They keep us engaged. Last Sunday was our dedication service for this new building, and there was a certain joy in the air. You could feel it. If I do say so myself, the service was beautiful. The music was great. Food was outstanding. The kids had a wonderful time on the bouncy house. Members, guests spent lots of time talking to each other, having fun just exactly as they should, like proud parents we kind of savored the moment. And it was easy to get caught up in the joy of this new beginning for our family of faith. And the truth of the matter is that we can run, at least for a while, on the euphoria of this new birth, this new beginning. But sooner or later, that euphoria of birthing wears off. And we're forced to confront the day-to-day challenges of growing. It'll be messy. We can expect to re-experience the same fatigue, anxiety, fear, even panic that we experienced growing up ourselves and that we experienced as we struggled to raise our kids. But as challenging as that growth might be, our real job as the church is to be about growing mature followers of Jesus and growing the kingdom of God. And here's the good part. They're both the same thing. Growing mature believers is the same as growing the kingdom of God. You can't do the second thing unless you're doing the first thing. And perhaps nowhere in Scripture is this process of growing up in Christ described better than in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians, we have one of the few letters written by Paul that was not meant to deal with a specific problem in a local church. In Ephesians, Paul's laying out for Christians everywhere a blueprint for a model church. And he sets the stage for this whole wonderful letter with this incredible passage we have as our second lesson today. And what I love about this opening is that it leaves no doubt at all about whose project this growing up process is. Paul lets us know just in no uncertain terms that God is in charge. And later on in Ephesians, he has plenty of time to talk about our individual places in that process, where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do. But right at the beginning, right at the very outset, he wants us to know that this is God's business. And he does that using 7 action words, 7 God verbs that just open our eyes to the way that God's working among us. And so I just invite you, if you've got your bulletin in front of you, take a look at that second lesson. And just follow along with me. These 7 verbs are incredible. You can read about how God blessed, God chose, God destined, bestowed, lavished, made known, and gathers up. There's nothing passive about any of these verbs, is there? Nothing passive at all. And nothing small about them either. God's up to something big in the world. Something cosmic. And somehow, we don't always get how, the church is part of that plan. Paul gives us these 7 great action verbs in this passage. And you know, as a pastor, as a preacher, I could do a sermon series on each one of those. They're so powerful. And I'm not saying that I won't, but there's not enough time to do that today. But just think, if you will, about the way these verbs convey to us how big and how good God is. We read this passage, and there's just sort of this almost majestic sweep through it that portrays a God who intentionally and actively blesses and destines and chooses and bestows and lavishes and more all to us. And we can't help but notice that God's the one that initiates all this. God starts everything. If you had to put it in today's terms, God's the screenwriter. He's the director. He's the producer of this cosmic plan to redeem creation. And if you look closely at this passage, there's something you're not going to find in there. There's not a single verb commanding us to do something. There's no requirements, no laws, no chores or assignments, not even a lesson. God's put us in a time and a place where all the requirements for growing up in Christ are in place. Not only are they in place, they're in action. And somehow the church and its mission to grow people up in Jesus is part of that plan. But what's the problem? Where's the rub? How come this whole growing up process is so hard then? And it's hard for us whether we're talking about growing up individually or whether we're talking about growing up to maturity in Christ. And I have to think it has something to do with our human nature. God's put everything in place to allow us to grow to maturity in Christ and for us to participate in His plan to redeem creation. And participate is the key. We're not just spectators in this cosmic show. Sometimes we just want to sit and watch it. But we're not supposed to be just spectators. We're supposed to participate. And the other error that we make is that we don't. If we're going to participate, we don't want to just participate. We want to run the show. There's the rub. Think back to Genesis chapter 3. When humans are tempted for the very first time, what's the temptation? You will be like God, knowing good and evil. We want to run the show. And so we just know that from the very beginning, evil has opposed God's plan to redeem creation. And I know we don't understand all the ins and outs, all the reasons for it, but part of the plan, part of God's cosmic plan, was to deliver us at Mountain of Faith into this place. It wasn't dumb luck. It didn't happen for no reason. Too many things had to fall into place for this not to be part of God's plan. We've got this home base now for our ministry. And God's going to do something with Mountain of Faith. And I think we would be smart to expect some opposition to that plan. But God's promise to us is that that opposition doesn't have the last word. The good news for us is there really is a total transformation program. It's available to us. And we don't get it by visiting a website or calling a phone number or sending $346 to someone we never heard of. We do get it by being open to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit change us from the inside out. But there's a catch. Dale Bruner, who's one of the very best Bible teachers I've ever heard, calls the Holy Spirit the shy member of the Trinity. The shy don't usually show up where there's a lot of noise and commotion. The shy doesn't show up uninvited. And this is where the church comes in. Because we make a special point out of carving out some space and time in our lives to invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And the Spirit brings a kind of growth that is different. Only the Spirit brings the kind of growth and total transformation where we experience what Paul calls the fruits of the Spirit. When we make room for that shy member of the Trinity, we can grow and still experience love, gentleness, peace, joy. Make room for the Holy Spirit in our lives. We do that by coming to worship, by reading Scripture, by coming to adult Sunday school, by prayer. But we take time to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God. Invite that shy member of the Trinity into your heart and let the total transformation begin. Thanks be to God.